Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Defense Strategic Review Australia. The headline says, spending $4 billion buying and making missiles and major military shakeup. Another headline says, the move is to the north. It's all, in fact, all over the country. There is something very large scale that Australia is now asserting over these next years because of the threat of the People's Republic of China, because after China, there are other threats to deal with in the Australian continent, and also because it's allied with other democracies on the earth. Australia is a natural bulwark to stop bad actors. Gregory, the Defense Strategic Review, according to this headline at ABC Business, that's Australian broadcasting, shifts Australia's focus north and asks, what will that mean for the Darwin port? We've got to do some geography, Gregory. Where is the Darwin port, and what does it mean to shift defense north?
Well, I'd have to say that the movement of the Australian defense forces into a northern posture on the northern part of the Australian continent has been underway for decades and is always important. But it started with the 1987 defense white paper, the precursor to the current defense strategic review, when we saw major defense bases being put up in the Northern Territory, close to Darwin, which is very close to Indonesia, very close to Papua New Guinea, and is the area where you'd have the major anticipated initial assaults on Australia should that occur again. And we bear in mind that within a few weeks of the attack on Pearl Harbor, we saw the Japanese Imperial Fleet attack Darwin, and the attack on Darwin was of a much larger scale than the attack on Pearl Harbor. There weren't so many high capital targets to hit in Darwin, but it was a significant attack, followed up by Japanese attacks on other northern Australian towns and ports. And the U.S. Air Force happened to be, or the Army Air Force at that time, happened to be operating in Darwin at that time and inflicted the only casualties that the Japanese invading aircraft from the carriers saw. So it was actually a significant attack. But today, with the Defense Strategic Review, we're seeing not just a move to the north. That's done and dusted in many respects. And there are numerous bases across the north in the state of Queensland, then to the west of that, the Northern Territory, which the capital is Darwin on the coast and the northern coast, and in northwestern Australia, the north of Western Australia, the state. So there's a lot of defense activity there. But what we're seeing with the Defense Strategic Review is Australia postulating the acquisition of longer range strike capabilities, which would be carried out by the Air Force and by the Navy in particular, further into the north, further taking the fight, if you like, out into the South China Sea and out in, and beyond that. So they're looking at long range weapons. They're looking at enhancing the Air Force's already high capability with the addition of long-range anti-ship capabilities, looking at enhancing the Navy, not just with the nuclear submarines, but also with unmanned submarines, which would be capable of offensive operations and the like, adding air power supplements such as the Ghost Bat unmanned aircraft, which would fly alongside the F-35s and F-18 Super Hornets to carry long-range weapons further out. They're also looking at adding capabilities to the Army in its power projection role by adding landing ships, and of course they've got two very heavy flat-top carriers, which are capable of taking amphibious assault craft up into the Asian region. So it's all moving ahead very successfully. But what was significant about the Defense Strategic Review, conducted by a former chief of the defense staff and a former defense minister to make recommendations to the new government of Australia, was that they essentially made it all about Australia's strategic partnership with the United States under the ANZUS Treaty, the Australia-New Zealand-United States Treaty. Now, this is significant because Australia now has an even more important strategic pact, AUKUS, Australia, United Kingdom, United States. And that's the basis under which Australia will acquire nuclear-powered, conventionally armed submarines compatible with the United States and the United Kingdom navies. But the Defence Strategic Review really touched, I think, two or three times only on AUKUS as a subordinate. They were looking at it as a subordinate treaty to ANZUS. And the reality is that AUKUS is of far greater reach and strategic import than ANZUS itself. And given the dubious participation of New Zealand at the moment within ANZUS, what we're really seeing is that ANZUS is and should be subordinate to the AUKUS treaty. Now, there's got to be some political reason why this Defence Strategic Review has played down AUKUS, and I suspect it's been so that it doesn't continue to antagonize the People's Republic of China.
About that antagonism, there's a little detail here that's puzzling. I didn't come across it right away, but I see that the Port of Darwin, or some significant part of Darwin Port, has been leased to a Chinese-owned company called Landbridge for 99 years, and that's under review. Now, rather than just talk about that, has there been a shift, dramatic shift, suddenly in Australia about China as a trade partner and a competitor to China as a direct threat, such as the Imperial Japanese Navy?
Well, there's a growing polarization of thought in Australia between those who desperately want to cling to the trade benefits they've had with the People's Republic of China over the past 20 or 30 years, and those who say, look, let's try to keep as much trade as we can with the PRC, but recognize that the PRC, Xi Jinping, has threatened Australia with nuclear attack. It's threatened Australia with sanctions on its trade in any event, and also that the PRC is a diminishing client for Australia's mineral and agricultural resources. So basically saying, look, the PRC is threatening us. Yes, we want them to keep buying our material, but we have to be sure that they do not see us as a vulnerable target for takeover.
All right, we've got 30 seconds. The Albanese government then has committed itself to defending Australia from the predator state, China. Is that accurate? 30 seconds.
It's accurate, but it's not sufficient. The National Defence Review doesn't get to what Australia really needs to defend itself against the PRC and for the post-China era after China collapses.
Gregory Copley, Defence and Foreign Affairs. We're headed to Africa, to the Nile River Valley, to Sudan, which is at civil war and a crisis. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.